Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Shiva A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Mishnu. His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavani Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Hadiriyet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada's disciples, the translation and commentary of whom this is their contribution. Nashtapraya Shabhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavatuttama Shloke. Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance and classes on Srimad Bhagavatam, and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 30th day of September 2016 in Alachua, Florida, a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 11, Chapter 3, Verse 17. Sri Rajovacha. Yataitam Aishwari Mayaham. Dustaram Akutatma Bihi. Tadantyanja Stuladiyo. Maharsha Idamuchitam. Yataitam Aishwaram Mayam. Dustaram akutatma bihi. Tadantyanjak stuladiyo. Maharsha idamuchitam. Yataitam aishwari mayam. Dustaram akutatma bihi. Tadanchandrak stuladiyo. Maharsha idamuchitam. Shri Mayam. Dustaram Katatna Bihi. Tadam Chandrak Stuladiyo. Maharsha Idamuchyadham. Sri Rajo Vacha. Ladies. Maharsha even Uchitam. Yatai Tanai Shadi Maya. Krishtaram Akutatma Bihi. Tadantyam Jagstula Dio. Maharsha even Uchitam. Nado Vacha. Yatai Tanai Shadi Maya. Vistaram akatatma bihi. Tadam chandakstu labiyo. Maharsha idam uchitam. Okay, I'll read the synonyms myself. Read along silently. Sri Raja Uvacha, King Nimi said, Yata, how? Etam, this. Aishwarim, of the Supreme Lord. Mayam, material energy. Dustadam, unsurpassable. Akuta atmabihi, by those who are not self-controlled. Taranti, they may cross over. Anjaha, easily. Stula diyaha, persons whose intelligence is dulled by materialistic attachments. Maharishe, O great sage, idam this uchitam, please tell. Translation, King Nimi said, O great sage, please explain how even a foolish materialist can easily cross over the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, which is always insurmountable for those who are not self-controlled. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Stula Diya indicates those who ignorantly identify themselves with the gross material body and who are therefore unable to analyze the subtle laws of nature by which the soul transmigrates in illusion. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that Stula Diya also indicates so-called pious persons who execute pompous religious ceremonies for material sense gratification rather than trying to prepare themselves to go back home, back to Godhead, by engaging in the loving devotional service of the Lord. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, King Nimi was already an advanced devotee of the Lord, and therefore knew that one can cross over the illusory energy, Maya, by surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord and pleasing him by pure devotional service. Therefore, the king was asking the question for the benefit of those who falsely consider themselves very much learned, but in fact are addicted to materialistic fruitive activities, which increasingly entangle them in illusion. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted from the Amarakosh Dictionary to show that Akutatma bihi indicates a purnatvam, or one whose life is empty. Every living being has an eternal relationship with the supreme living being, Krishna. One may love Krishna by thinking of him as one's eternal master, one's most intimate friend, one's beloved child, or the object of one's conjugal attraction. Of course, such ecstasies should never be confused with ordinary material emotions, which are perverted reflections of spiritual rasas or relationships. In the material world, we try to relish these same relationships of servitude, friendship, parental love, and conjugal love. But the object of such feelings is a temporary material body, which is quickly devastated by the laws of nature. These loving feelings should be directed toward the spiritual body of the Supreme Personality, Krishna, who is the reservoir of all beauty and transcendental bliss. One who has not learned the art of directing his love to Krishna is apurna, or one whose life is ultimately empty. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one whose life is empty can also be called mandadi, or one whose intelligence is crippled by a lack of broad experience. King Nimi, a pure Vaishnav, was so kind that he asked, how can such cripple-minded people cross over Maya in the easiest way possible, since by nature they are very lazy in spiritual matters? Om jnana tamarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshu unmidatam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So this is the next installment of the instructions from the nine yogendras. Previously, we've heard of the material energy. This was the question that King Nimi asked the previous yogendras, the one who answered. And he gave a summary in about, 10, 11 verses. This is usually how long these lessons are. And he was talking about annihilation, the creation and the annihilation. And naturally, one would want to know how we can get out of this holocaust, as it were. And so that's the next question. How can, now that I've heard about Maya, how can I get out of Maya? So these questions of the king are very important lessons in and of themselves, because the problem in the material world, when we're completely under the illusion engendered by the three modes of nature, we don't know what questions to ask. We don't, because our orientation is completely in this world, centered on the gross and subtle body and the relationships. So in that illusion, we have no idea what questions to ask. And therefore, at the beginning of the second canto, we have this exchange between Parikshit and Sukadev. Remember, at the end of the first canto, Sukadev Goswami asks, what should I do now at this end of life? What should one who's about to die, what should he think about? What should he hear? What should he chant? And so Sukadev praises the very question. Vadiyanashite prashna kato loke tangnapa atmavit samatakpunsam shote vyadishu yak paraha. So it's a very nice question. Vadiyanashite, but this comes up several times in the Bhagavatam, the phrase question. Kuto loka hitam nibad is for the benefit of the whole world. Hitam for loka, because it's very well understood that the sacrifice they're performing, they're sitting there in Naimasharanya. Actually, at the end, Sukadev says, and Sutta's saying, he's going to speak it again, if you recall in the 12th canto. So, and then it's going to be written, it was already written down, it's going to come down. And so they're doing this, not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of all others, including ourselves. So he's saying it helps the whole world. All of the transcendentalists, they approve this question. But then the next verse, he says, Shrotya vyadi niraje niran hinang samdhi sahasasha apashyatam atmakatvam griheshu grihanedina. The materialistic householders, grihanedina, they have millions of things. He says thousands, but with the internet it becomes millions and billions. Questions, right? Google has made billions of dollars just by on the questions that people ask. What's the question? So, and they're getting answers, but they're not asking the right questions. The questions and answers are asked by those who are absorbed in material affairs, and they have no vision of Atma Tattva, of what is the truth of the self, which is the real need of the soul. So, understanding what questions to ask is itself a sign of advancement. And sometimes you'll find, he says, I don't even know what questions to ask. Can you please instruct me so that I'll start to ask the right questions? So the question here is classic. In other words, Sanatana Goswami, for example, he came before Lord Chaitanya. He was already an advanced Vaishnava, as Lord Chaitanya himself said. He knew the answers. But for the benefit of the listeners and for all time, he asked, who am I and why am I suffering? And the implication is, and how can I end the suffering? So that's the proper question. And here he's saying, even those who are stula dhiya is described, as you've heard in the purport, has different meanings. In the word by words, persons whose intelligence is dulled by materialistic attachments. This stula means like material, right? It means absorbed in material affairs. So even they, he wants to know how they can also, because this is the vast majority of people in this world, how they can easily cross beyond. Now, of course, they can cross beyond with that kind of intelligence. They have to come to the point of clear intelligence and fixed intelligence, bhavasvayapaka buddhi. But how can they at least begin the process? How can they begin the process of clearing the intelligence and clearing the mind, cetodharpana marjana, so that even they can become purified. So what just so a few coming attractions I can't resist, because this is a section that I started memorizing. After four more verses, you will hear this verse. Tasmad gurum papadheda jigyashu shaye utamam shabde parecha mishnatam brahmanyupashamashi. So really, this is the essential part of the answer. At the beginning of the answer, Prabuddha, Yogendra, will describe in three verses how it's impossible to find happiness and peace in this world. He will describe how ordinary people get together in couples and they undertake so many activities for two purposes. For increasing the happiness and decreasing the distress. How does he say? Dukkha hatyai sukhaya cha. Dukkha hatyai means to destroy miseries, which will come of their own accord just by being in the material world. So you have to have a strategy for that as a materialist. How am I going to fend off these miseries? And what's the use unless there's some happiness? So you have all kinds of strategies for enjoying, right? But one should see, and this is where the transcendental vision comes in. One should understand that in the end, they get just the opposite. Pashyet paka vipariyayam. Paka literally means when it's nice and cooked, right? You have the, what is that, the famous, shropacha, the dog cookers. So paka means when everything is mature, they've gotten just the opposite. The misery has increased and there's no happiness left. If nothing else, just when you get old, you become unable to enjoy the happiness that you once enjoyed. Or that, you know, even if there's the ideal marriage, it lasts 50 years in the material world, you know, that person eventually dies, you know, and you can't enjoy it anymore, and it's all suffering. So then he describes how in this world, in order to enjoy any happiness, what do you have to have? Scratch. Right? Mula, money. So this is called vitta. So nityarti dena vittena durlabhenatma mrityuna. Two lines, he destroys. Says first of all, nitya arti dena. Can anyone guess what that means? Nitya arti dena. Always causing misery. Always causing misery. Durlabha, very difficult to attain. And here's the punchline. You can remember this one. Atma mrityuna, a veritable death for the soul. In other words, to be absorbed simply in getting and spending money is death for the soul, if that's your only absorption. Of course, we have to earn something to keep body and soul together. That's one thing. But if that becomes your sole focus, which after all is the capitalist ethos, which pervades not only this country now, but the entire world, right? Everybody knows someone else is making more money, right? And how can, if that's your focus, it's death for the soul. And whatever you can buy with it, it comes and goes. It's material. It comes and goes. And so if you're trying to take pleasure there, it's hopeless. So then what's the alternative? Well, going back to Gadda, that's one alternative. But what about going to the heavenly planets? This is like another absorption, right? And this is also Stula D, according to Vishnuchakravarti. So he says, okay, you want to go to heavenly planets, but that's also temporary. Didn't we learn that from Bhagavad Gita? Chine punye marty lokam vishanti. So you may go there and live for a long, long time, enjoy godly delights, vishalam, you know, vastly greater, but ultimately comes to an end. Your punya is finished. Your credit, like a credit card. You go on vacation, right? You're enjoying yourself in Hawaii or in Florida or something. You put the credit card in, you're given, sorry, Mr. Jones, do you have another one? This one is, oh, I have to go back to work. Back down, Marcha Loca. So that's also, it's temporary. And then there's all kinds of rivalry even up there. As I was pointing out, in the sixth canto, eighth canto, there's a story of these huge battles going on between the demons and the demigods. So there's no real peace or happiness there. Then comes Tasmad Gurum Papadyasya. If you want Shreya, the ultimate good, which is crossing over material life and attaining permanent and ever-increasing happiness with no downside, you have to get out of this material world. And to do that, you have to find a spiritual master who is Shabde Parecha Nishnatam Brahmanupashamashram, is fixed in these two aspects of the Supreme, the Shastra and the Lord himself, and completely free of material inebrieties. Let's throw in that word, a good word, inebriety. And then it describes, which I won't get into, what to do. Surrender, serve in non-deceptive way, amaya, he says. And if you do that, Krishna will give himself. He wants to give himself to us. But the way he does it, if you serve the spiritual master nicely. What does the spiritual master tell you to do? Serve Krishna. You know, it's not separate. That's part of the service. And then, eventually we get to these wonderful verses about, I think I shared here, Parasparam Kapanam, of meeting together, chanting the purifying glories of the Lord, and developing wonderful loving relationships between the devotees, becoming satisfied and becoming detached from material life. So that's the means of doing it. There's no alternative. Now, the process that the spiritual master will give us is the most accessible for everybody, and that's the chanting of the holy name, especially in this lifetime. You may remember in the previous chapter when the instructions first began, and the first question was really, what is the ultimate good? You know, and he started with describing how one can overcome fear. You'll find four very well-known verses in that first lesson there. And what he's saying there is that really this whole absorption in the material life is unnatural for the soul. Vayam That fear takes place, which is inherent in this material world, because everything is temporary. When we forget the Lord, we turn away from the Lord, and we become absorbed in what we think is something that's separate from Krishna. That's the vidyabhidaveshataksya. And everything becomes viparya. That same word is used in this section here, in the first verse. Everything is upside down, reversed. Instead of being the servant, we become the master. Instead, as Akura says in his prayers, anityanatma dukeshu viparhi matiryaham. That which is not eternal, my relationships and all the things here, I'm taking to be permanent. The most amazing thing, does you say, right? And that which is not me, the body, I'm taking this is definitely me. Right? Who else could it be? And that which are sources of misery, I'm taking to be sources of pleasure. Anityanatma dukeshu, viparya vityaviham. And in this misconception, then vunva ramo, I'm trying to, like, as hard as I can, to enjoy the dualities of this world. And entering tamo vishto, more and more into ignorance. And the greatest tragedy of all, he's speaking to Krishna, as he's Krishna Balaram on the chariot, Akura is in the river taking him to Mathura. And he sees a manifestation of Krishna and Balaram. I think Balaram is Shesha and Krishna is Narayan. And so he's offering these prayers. He's the Acharya for prayers. He has four or five different sets of prayers. This is one beautiful one. Najane Tvatmanak Priyam. I have no idea that you are my most dear most friend, master. You know, I've completely forgotten about you. And then this very telling verse, beautiful verse. Yatabado Janam Hitta Padi Chanam Tadudvai. Just like a fool, let's imagine a desert. It's so lush here. Yesterday I went to Adi Karta's place for lunch, and I said, should I take my umbrella? I don't know, I don't need the umbrella. And I walked outside of Indra's house, and suddenly I saw these big clouds. I better go back inside. And then it was a beautiful downpour. It lasted maybe half an hour, you know, and then everything was lush and everything was clean. You know, we don't have that in San Diego. You know, at all. There's no rain in California where I am. Anyway, so he's saying, so imagine a real desert and there's an oasis there. And there's a very thirsty individual right on the edge of the oasis. Next to his feet is a nice pool of pure water. But in that water, because that's grown so many leaves and plants and things, he can't see the water. He's focusing out into the desert. What does he see? A Mrigatrishna. You know what a Mrigatrishna is? Mirage. My father called it a mirage. So, and it looks, you know, there's the water. It's out there. Run out into the desert. Why is it called a Mrigatrishna? Because it's what the foolish deer thirst after. A Mriga is an animal, right? So, and he goes out there. So similarly, my Lord, You are in my heart. All of us have Krishna in our heart. But we're going outside. Yate vidu svargatim durashe bahirartamanana. The whole problem is that we're looking in this material world for our security and happiness and everything. Outside. So, then he says, Akura, in these prayers, to the last, I don't have the strength to control my mind. My senses are dragging me here and there, everywhere. What am I going to do? You know? So then he says, there's only one thing to do. I am throwing myself at your lotus feet. Even though I'm not pure and I'm not qualified, I'm throwing myself at your lotus feet because your mercy is such that you can empower me to control the mind, fix my mind. Very instructive prayers. The prayer is great. So, practically speaking, you can see how, what is the process? Somehow or other, people throwing themselves at the lotus feet, even though we're unqualified, means chant Hare Krishna, no matter what your condition of life is. Whatever you do, don't stop chanting Hare Krishna. You know, we may commit so many offenses, we may, fall away, we may do so much nonsense. You gotta keep chanting. Because that's our only hope in this age. And that is the real process by which the purification can take place, so we become actually worthy, ultimately, to be servants of Krishna, to enter into the spiritual world. I was down in Gainesville recently and the whole verse was, Kalakanda, he picks out these like special verses, all like the highlights, you're always like, so Etan Niva Jamana Ana Michitama Kotoba Yam. This was the verse, the famous verse in the second canon. And it's all about chanting, whether one is full of material desires, free of material desires, or desires liberation, the doubtless and fearless way for advancement for everyone is chanting the holy name. So then the Prabhupada goes through the 10 offenses, but I was, which is very illuminating, but I was stressing on how one of the offenses, which we don't recite, the second offense actually has three different meanings, which we often don't realize. Usually we recite to consider the demigods to be equal to independent, the holy name of Lord Vishnu, right? But there's another meaning to that offense. Probably it brings it out in the Adi Leela, where I forget the exact reference, where he's describing the 10 offenses. So it's described, what is that? Satan, no, what's the second part? Shivasya. Thank you. Thank you very much. So this Shivasya, Sri Vishnu, that can have two meanings. It can mean of Shiva, or it can mean the auspicious name. So when it's the auspicious name of Vishnu, then it's matched with Diya Dinam. To think that the name is separate from Vishnu. That's part of the offense. So in other words, we should have, when we're chanting our japa or kirtan, we should have that idea or be aware of the idea that this is Krishna himself manifest here as an avatar, really, to help us, to purify us. It's breathtaking. I mean, it's like amazing. And it's totally inconceivable, right? Krishna's there in that name. It's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur thinks in all 14 worlds of nothing but the holy name. So there was one lady who asked there, I just can't understand it. How could I understand that this name we're chanting is actually Krishna? And the answer is, you can understand it. It's completely so I with the verse I should have quoted, but I didn't, but I gave it up. It's Atak Shri Krishna Namadi, Nababe Grayam Indriya, Seva Mukehi Jivado, Swayamevas Puratina. That with these gross senses, the senses we start with, we can't really understand or perceive the name, form, qualities of Krishna. We can try, and we should try, but we shouldn't be disappointed if, Krishna doesn't appear to us as soon as we're chanting. But it's wonderful that if you begin chanting, especially with the tongue is the first, jivado swayameva spuratida, that the Lord ultimately reveals himself. This is our whole process. You can't storm the battlements of the spiritual world. You can't get up there by force. No matter how great a yogi you are, how great a tapasvi you are, what to speak of wealthy individual, that doesn't help. In fact, it's often a disqualification. The yogis, if you perform a great deal of tapasya and you get some yogic powers, that itself disqualification in one sense because you get them very proud. Look at Vishwamitra, right? Isn't that a perfect example? The Salvary, right? I've been under water so long, you know? Who else could do that, you know, or whatever? So the only process is actually trinadapisunichena, you know, to be feel oneself as humble as a blade of grass, be tolerant, no desire for honor, what to speak of other things, and to chant from the bottom of one's heart. Did I share this already? Please forgive me because I got back and forth with Gainesville. This verse, Janmaishraya Shuddha Shribya, I don't know if I explained the new translation. Yes, the new translation after 40 years, which is actually the old translation Prabhupada gave, but was misedited. Trust me, this is what he had originally. And somehow or other, because the translation we've had made perfect sense in and of itself, no one noticed it, but it doesn't convey the actual meaning of that. So, okay, our main process is chanting. But Prabhupada says in the purport, there is a quality to such utterances, and that's what this verse is all about. So she says, Janmaishraya Shuta Shiva Edamana Bhavakpaman Naiva Hartha Bhadatam Vyatama Kinshana Gochara. So Krishna is a Kinshana Gochara. It doesn't mean we can't have any money in the bank account, but we have to think it's Krishna's. That's the point. Yes, I can use and get my chair, you know, Ishavasham Vidam Savam. Yes, I can get my share for what I need, but it really belongs to Krishna. And if my life is for Krishna, then that money I spend, you know, buying my provisions and my house is also part of Krishna's service. Because my life is dedicated to Krishna. But here, she's saying, those who are progressively intoxicated with good birth, these are four traditional opulences, good birth, certainly wealth, personal beauty, which is a big one, and education, they cannot chant your name with deep feeling. So the translation we have up till now is, O my Lord, your Lord can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted, period. Those who are progressively more intoxicated with good birth, beauty, etc., cannot approach you with deep feeling. If you look it up, you'll see it's more or less exactly that. Do we have it? I don't know. You can find it. But what Prabhupada actually said, or what he wrote actually in his book, and you'll find it there, my Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. Because those who are progressively intoxicated with wealth, etc., cannot address you with deep feeling. It's a whole different word. And you'll find that right in the word-by-word meanings. Address is to, abhidhatam means to address with deep feeling. And that comes out completely clear in the purport. So that's really what we're trying to do. And when we chant, we're trying to come to the point of addressing Krishna with deep feeling constantly in the mood of, as Prabhupada instructed, please, you know, as a child with his mother, or please engage me in your service. I remember, I like to recall, when I grew up on Long Island, and it's not that far from the beach, anywhere you are on Long Island. So we used to go to the beach every Sunday, my father would take us. And, you know, inevitably, you can imagine, there's big crowds everywhere, blankets, you know, and kids are running around in and out of the water. So eventually one kid will inevitably become separated from the mother, right? And, you know, after a little while, the kid becomes panicky, the mother really becomes panicky, right? And so the lifeguards, who all have these stands, they would catch the kid and hold him up so the mother can see. And the mother would come running and the kid would go, oh, you know. So you'd see that every Sunday that we used to go on Sunday. So it's like that. We should feel like that little boy, you know, separated from his mother. And calling out helplessly, please take me back into your loving arms, you know, safety and happiness. So, but we don't feel like that because we get intoxicated with this illusion in this material world. So all of this instruction from the Bhagavatam, you know, so much of it, when you go through, you don't have to read very far before you're going to get a description of the dangers and the miseries of the material world. Whole chapters in the fifth canto, you know, the forest of material enjoyment, you know, the instructions of Jadabharata to King Rahugana. Rahugana, he's an example of some, you know, kings generally get totally immersed, right, in wealth and all these different things. So he needs it, and he's wise enough to take the instruction, even from his so-called palanquin carrier. Suddenly he goes, oh, this is a great sage, well, let me question him. This is the difference. You know, this was King Nimi's qualification as a devotee. As soon as those yogendras appeared, and they came there because they knew that he was, you know, he would ask the right question. And he said, oh, you know, to glorify them, this is a great treasure. I hardly see such souls. It's such a rare experience. And what to do? Ask them these ultimate questions. You know, what is this material world? Why am I suffering? How can I get out of it? What is the ultimate good? That's one of the Shreya, you know. And so we have that opportunity in abundance. Prabhupada's books are everywhere. You know, we have our phones. We can, it just depends on what, your entire destiny is coming by which keys you hit on the keyboard. This is what it's come down to, right? One key will take you to the porn site. One key will take you to the Bhaktivedanta database online. It's all, this is where your destiny is coming, isn't it? But I mean, it's basically we're making the decisions here. So I wanted to share a few poems because we're coming up, the real key to the answer here, thus they kind of, accepting, no, this is the, please explain how even a foolish materialist can easily cross over the illusory energy. So the answer, as I explained, keys on that verse describing, well, one has to find and approach in the proper mood a realized soul and accept as a spiritual master. So I'm gonna save a little time to read a few poems I wrote about Srila Prabhupada I could share with you. It's my last day here. And some of these you heard, one of them you probably didn't hear. And specifically the one geared toward following his words and spreading his words, his message, which is really the greatest service we can do. We all have to do that service of following the instructions. And the more that we can spread those instructions given to others, the more mercy we'll get from Prabhupada and all the people. So any discussion on any of these points? We can leave it for some discussion or questions. Yes, Prabhu, you have a question.
I wanted to thank you for coming to Alachua. Such inspiring lectures.
It's always a pleasure. Oh, don't remind me. I want to share the special verse and maybe a song or two about Krishna Balaram that I learned. Ever since they've been installed, I've been completely enthralled. I've always been enthralled with the deities here, but that's just put me over the top. So, go ahead.
I just wanted to express that I feel frustrated every time I come to Bhagavatam class because I hear all this good stuff, right? And then I go to work. And then I do the same things, that intoxication with wealth and prestige and education and so on.
Yeah.
Then I come back the next day in the morning again. I hear how bad these things are. Then I go to work again. I forget all about it. Spend most of my day doing that.
Yeah.
Then I come. So how long is this going to continue?
That's up to you. At least you know that at least you see the contrast, you know? If, when we stop seeing, you can't surrender to that, you know? I didn't go through that. You know, when I joined, we moved in and we had, you know, a full-time, program. In fact, I don't even think I knew what, I remember something happened. I wasn't reading a newspaper. There's no computers. There's no phones. You know, call your mother already. It's been 3 weeks. You know, can I get on the phone? But you borrow the phone. So I remember when I joined. You know, and then suddenly the Sankirtan parties are having trouble going out. So what's going on? They can't fill the tank with gas. This is 1973. There was this gas thing. You know, the oil embargo or something. Suddenly, that was the crisis. I knew about it because how it impacted. So, but it's a different world now. The vast majority of devotees are not full-time. They have, you know, they're outside, congregational. And it's certainly a challenge how to be Krishna conscious when all those around you are not Krishna conscious. And it requires very strong sadhana, and an ability wherever possible to inject some Krishna consciousness or some spiritual matter, find somebody, take some prasadam. Usually people are ready to accept some nice prasadam. You know. So So that there's some kind of Krishna conscious element in your environment. I know it's very difficult, and frankly, I couldn't imagine myself doing it, certainly not at this point. So it's a great challenge, how to remain Krishna conscious. But it's like, this is why in the Vedic system, it's not for all the days, as Prabhupada says. You know, there's a certain point where you can aim toward working less, at least, or coming to the point of retirement where you can start going to the holy places or practicing more, you know. So that it's almost like there's a bit of a holding action to that part of our lives in the traditional system. What else does it mean? Certainly there's Grihastha Ashram, where within your house you can be Krishna conscious. And we always have our great example of Bhaktivinoda Thakura you can aspire to. But how many Bhaktivinoda Thakuras are there? maybe I'm going out on a limb here. I think it's harder now because you have your children, you have, you know, the thing. And children oftentimes, they have their own idea, you know. But how do you keep them away from the computer? I mean, the world intrudes so much more in this day and age. I don't know how we could have had that ashram in Brooklyn. Is Pushkar still here? If everyone had a cell phone, you know, it wouldn't work. You know, how do you, you because you, you know, you're sleeping in your bunk and then, oh yeah, well, let me check it out. It doesn't work that way. You know? So, I sympathize very much with the dilemma, and it's simply a how to keep your head above water and how to advance. You know, your vacation, you go full time, you go to India, you go to Vrindavan, you know, and then you have to dive back into it. So someone else maybe has a better insight into that. Shubhakram Prabhu.
During the Varnashram system, that creates that balance. One is a householder, and he's a householder until he's 50. And I mean, he would, you know, collect and everything, but then when he reaches that time, well, he knows time to go down the ladder, time to renounce gradually.
Yeah.
But in this time and age, it's very difficult. But it would definitely take the advice of the spiritual master, the devotees, to help us create that balance. Because sometimes we keep on over-endeavoring and then minimizing our sadhana and everything. And so we're going overboard and we're not even conscious of it. So we have to be conscious and try to keep that balance and get the help of the spiritual master and the devotee.
Yeah, that's it. Ramiya, and then over here. Oh, is that okay? Oh, go ahead. Ramiya. We have a little extra time a bit early.
Hare Krishna.
Go ahead, Ramiya.
I don't really claim to have great realization, but having worked for about 35 years, I'm trying to be a devotee, I find that that constant, you know, confrontation with material energy. And if you are reading, associating, participating programs, then you see it's like you're in the enemy camp constantly, and you're aware of it. It's like a soldier on the front lines is never like lax.
You're vigilant.
Yeah, he has to be because he knows the enemy's right in front of you. You can see it, and it's just develop a bit of a distaste for it because you can see all the people engaged in it constantly and what it does to them.
Yeah, it's when you don't think you have a problem is when you really have a problem. When you don't see the danger of it. All right, Begabati. Go ahead.
When you were talking about storming the gates of heaven,
yeah,
and not being able to with wealth or education, I also thought, and correct me if I'm wrong or elaborate if I have, that sometimes it seems like, especially in the last, I don't know, couple decades, I get a feeling from some devotees that if I learn everything, all the verses and all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, then I'm definitely qualified, more than you that are just out doing life, talking to do you get what I'm aiming at?
I think I do.
Okay. So if you could speak on that would be great.
Yeah. Every morning we sing the Tulsi prayer. And if I don't sing it from the beginning, I generally forget the line. But the one word says, give me the adhikari to be your servant. You know, this adhikari idea. It's actually a super advanced song. I mean, it's really praying to become a manjari. What else is it? You know, it's manjari bhav. You got it right here. So, but that idea of becoming eligible or worthy, you know, through sadhana and through previous practices to enter into these higher subject matters, Prabhupada stressed that like anything, you know. So, how do we get that eligibility? It really comes from the mercy of the Guru, from the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, right? But we know to really get the mercy of Lord Nityananda and is to preach, right? That has to be there. Otherwise, how can you understand Lord Chaitanya without understanding Lord Chaitanya getting his mercy? How can you enter into these things? So, that was Prabhupada's whole life. In other words, he started this movement, and he gave us both of these tracks. I keep stressing this because Lord Chaitanya showed the way. He had an internal and external reason for appearing, right? And this was really a model for us also, that his external reason was propagating sankirtan, preaching, helping others. And internally, at the same time, he wanted, of course, you know, to relish his own service. Krishna wanted to relish from Radharani's point of view. It came with the mood and complexion of Radharani. So we also have to have both of those. And if it's all just my desire to advance, it really can get tinged with sense gratification. I want to enjoy these higher rasas. And in order to do that, I have to absorb my mind in the Ujjala Nilamani and the Govinda Lilamani from morning till night, you know, and live in Vrindavan permanently. You know, I mean, that's some of the idea. But then what happens to, you know, first of all, that's not Prabhupada's line. You're immediately out of Prabhupada's line, you know, unless you know, that's all you can do. Prabhupada gave us these places, as he said, for retiring and going back to Godhead. But as long as, when did he retire? Never. Right? He traveled until he couldn't travel, and he was even preaching and writing his books till the very end. But certainly, there's a point in one's life when that's proper. And it's not that we shouldn't think of these things, or not that we shouldn't read about these things, but there has to be a balance, and it has to be under the instruction of higher authorities in our lives. If we just have this whole idea that, and especially you get this mood, as you indicated at the end there. Forget it, you know. The ISKCON is permanently at, you know, in the ABCs. Never gets to D. What to speak of X, Y, Z, you know. And so that's called massive blasphemy, ninda. Everybody, there's nobody, you know, in ISKCON who's advanced at all. I'm leaving. That we've heard that. Absolutely nobody. Well, it's like how many hundreds of thousands of devotees now. What was that pamphlet? I was surprised. You know, so that's how could you not make an offense by that? So that itself doesn't bode well for entering into Radha Krishna Lila, you know, which is available for the meek and the you know the humblest devotees. We should be careful not to get into that and associate with devotees who are in that mood of. You know, not in Prabhupada's mood. That's what I'm saying. So be careful. Any more discussion? Okay, then we're going to do the poems. Go ahead, Tom.
Prabhupada quote that verse.
Yes, he does. Yeah. This
and
is the
when I heard from Prabhupada quoting that verse, I was reading the purport. It says, "Na jujjate sada atmasthita jada buddhir ashraya." So yeah. In the purport, he put that actually a householder may face trouble in this world, but he has to take spiritual intelligence always. not depends on mind. So it's very interesting, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that for an advanced devotee, they offer their devotion to the Lord with a priti, love. But for a sadhaka, there is no love yet developed. They're intelligent. They offer devotion with intelligence.
Yeah.
So there is no bondage in a sense. There is no bondage.
Bondage.
Because Mahaprabhu actually told Raghunath Das Goswami, "Sthir hoya ghare jao na ho batul, krome krome pai lok bhavo sindhuku, antarinishta bhajye loka vyavahar, achirat Krishna tumai karibe nirdar." Don't be a madman that I should become advanced immediately, forget my family, forget everything, who cares or something. That's crazy, Mahaprabhu says. Don't be crazy, madman. He says, develop antarinishta, a strong, irrevocable faith towards devotional process, and act outside just the way people expect you to act. And very soon Krishna will deliver.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Sweet.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, should I go read a few poems? All right, this is one you probably haven't heard, and I hope I can remember it. I wrote it originally for Prabhupada's appearance day, but I tweaked it a little bit so it's pertinent on every day. Let's see if I can. O Prabhupada, we praise the day when you appeared just like a ray of Krishna's vast effulgence bright to give this blind world back its sight. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts and pray with deepest love that we may serve your lotus feet in every circumstance we meet. As years go by and books go out, we see what life is all about. To serve your mission and our Lord's by spreading wide your sacred words. As well, you want us all to strive to let those words direct our lives. The safest path will lead us home, no more in Maya's realm to roam. Gaur Premanandi, Hare Hare. Now here's one I wrote back in the late 90s when I was in Vrindavan. I used to go there quite often, and the Prabhupada's Disappearance Festival, and that was originally written for that, looking for that. But I, again, tweaked it so it's more universal. So this is based on the Gurvashtaka we sing every morning at Mangalarti. Trapped within samsara's all-consuming blazing fire, we had no hope for rescue till your guru's strong desire inspired and empowered you to boldly cross the sea and teach the truths of bhakti so some souls would be set free. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now. Unto your soothing lotus feet I bow. Patiently you taught us how to chant the holy name and how to dance and how to sing and what was life's true aim. And thus you gave us Lord Chaitanya's teachings unalloyed and saved us from the all-devouring Mayavadi void. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now. And to your soothing lotus feet I bow. When Krishna Bhakti spread and you had centers here and there, you introduced the worship of the deities so fair. And soon throughout the world their lordships smile upon your crew and nourish strong devotion to themselves and unto you. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now, and to your soothing lotus feet I bow. Prasadam was your special weapon. No one could resist. Once the Sunday feast had started, no one could desist. Halva, sweet rice, crisp pakoras, sabjis, puris, rice. With these and other preps, you did our tongues and hearts entice. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now. Until your soothing lotus feet I bow. The books you shower down upon the masses and on us taught scripture's sacred essence, bhakti, pure and nectarous. And while you wrote, you relished Sri Sri Radha Krishna's names and forms and pastimes, qualities, and everlasting fame. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now. Unto your soothing lotus feet I bow. While managing your ISKCON with the whole world as your stage, meeting, preaching, traveling like a man of half your age, you served your most beloved Radha Krishna in your heart, arranging for their pastimes in Vrindavan's secret part. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now, and to your soothing lotus feet I bow. The Guru is as good as God, you said, and some were shocked, but you had simply quoted scripture, you did not concoct, and sure enough, for those who worship you as they would God, the path of bhakti opens wide and joyfully is trod. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now, and to your soothing lotus feet I bow. If you bestow your mercy, then Sri Krishna gives his too. But if your mercy is lacking, then there's nothing we can do. So every day we should reflect upon your life sublime and vow to serve you always with our body, words, and mind. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now, and to your soothing lotus feet I bow. So that's the 8 verses. Now the 9th verse is my little prayer. I pray that my small hymn, though lacking literary worth, presented to remind us of your pastimes on this earth, may find some favor both with you and with your devotees, who hover around your lovely lotus feet like maddened bees. O Prabhupada, I pray that you bestow your mercy now unto your soothing lotus feet. Amen. Srila Prabhupada. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Jai. Oh yeah, Krishna Balaram, I promised you. Alright. The thing is, I don't have a poem for this. But this is an obeisance verse. I sent this just yesterday to Madhu Mati. She knew about it. I think I mentioned it before. So, as you well know, these deities were installed just a few years ago, right? And, when they were installed, I was thinking, because I like to offer various prayers and shlokas during the greeting, you know, as a prayer. So I never had an obeisance verse for Krishna Balaram. They're hard to find. So, one year, Bhajan Narayan Maharaj, before he was a Maharaj, this was like 4 or 5 years ago, he said, because he would travels all over, goes to Vrindavan a lot with Krishna Balaram a day, he said, do you know any verse? I said, no, I don't know, but I know someone who might know. And who might that be? Can you guess? Bhakti Vishrambar, Madhava Maharaj. He got the name Vishrambar. You know why he got Vishrambar? That's like an intimate, confidential Sakiras. He likes that. So there's a book called Bhakti Prayoprasarnava, which is all about Sakiras, a Sanskrit book. So in that book, there are these various prayers. So he sent us this prayer, nice obeisance verse for Krishna Balaram, which I will now share with you. So it goes like this. Jaladada Shashivarno Gopabeshao Kishorao Sahachatagana Vrindai Kridamano Vajeshao Natavadajita Vesho Nilapi Tambaradyo Jagatajananihetu Ramakrishna Matosmi. So I bow down to Rama and Krishna, who are all these things. And I don't think you can find it up there. It's not in the database. And so, Krishna and Balaram have, Krishna has the complexion of a fresh cloud, and Balaram of the moon, Shashi, Varna. And they're dressed just like gopis, like coward boys. Kishora, this adolescent. They're with their friends in the forest, enjoying Krida, their pastimes, and they themselves are the lords of Vrindavan. Their dress defeats the best of dancing actors. Natavadajita Veshal, and Nilapitambarada, Balaram's dressed in blue, Krishna in yellow. And Jagatajananahetu, they are themselves the causes of this whole universe. You know, that's also there. I offer my obeisance to Krishna Balaram. Now, one little song I'll give you. We have another 1 minute before 9. So this is a delightful song from Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu. I discovered these fairly recently. And you remember the pastime of Dhenukasura, you know, killing Dhenukasura? So in that chapter, I noticed Balaram is kind of featured. You know, Krishna glorifies Balaram there. They go into the forest. He has all these prayers. And then Balaram is the one who actually goes in and kills Dhenukasura. So then afterward, they come back, and the gopis are ecstatic. They see Krishna and Balaram. They look at Krishna's face. Their eyes are described just like bees drinking this thick honey-like beauty of his face, and they're casting sidelong glances, he's casting sidelong glances, and then they come into home, and there's Yashoda, and then the other rasas there. So he's got all three rasas there. You've got Sakya Ras and a little conjugal Ras, and now his parental Ras, and Yashoda just pampers them, you know, and he washes and cleans them and washes them and then feeds them and puts them to bed. That's how it's described in Bhagavatam. So this verse is about that pampering. This is Yashoda. So now just listen to the Sanskrit. You won't understand it right away. But it's just so exquisite. You know, here's the refrain. Aharina halina sahatupadana. Give me a little beat. Havina, Havina, Sahadu Kundalina, Vajani, Mukamana, Janani, Lad, Mukika, the Kalina. Havina, Havina, Sahadu Kundalina, Vajani, Mukamana, Janani, Lad, Mukika, the Kalina. Then the vibration is accepted. So Harina, that's Hari, that's Krishna. Halina is he who carries the plow. So it's Balaram and Krishna. Harina, Halina, Saha, with those two. Ripa Dalina, that refers to Balaram. And he rips apart, Dalina is the ripper, he rips apart the ripper. The rippers are the enemies. You know, so it's remembering the killing Dhenugasa. Ripa Dalina. Rajani Mukham, when the face of night is there, when the evening comes, you know. Then Janani Lalanam. Janani is the mother, Yashoda. Lalanam is the pampering. He's pampering in various ways. And then Jita Kalina, that refers back to Krishna, he who conquers and destroys all our sinful reactions. So that's a little reframe. So what is she doing? Verses, Niyamanchana Nirajana, Niyamanchana Nirajana, Mardana, Marjana, Niyamanchana Nirajana, Marjana, Badana, Lokana, Vachanam, Mardana, Mardana, Sambastanana, Pushtad, Punduka, Sachanam. So the first thing is Niyamanchana. This is a preliminary, I discovered, I did some research, to a puja, preparing the argy and everything and getting everything cleaned. You know, this is Niyamanchana. And then Nirajana. You didn't maybe know that she does a little arti for Krishna Balaram. Nirajana is what you do with the lamps, you know, so it stands for everything. So you're doing a little, I guess it's small arti. So then Nirajana, Vadanalokana Rachanam, and she looks at their faces with great love. And then Mardana, little massage. And then Majjana, full immersion bath, right? You've been in the forest all day. And then she dresses them in new clothes and puts the pundra, the tilaka. This is the first thing. Then the next verse, Rasachaya Yojana Bojana Purana Sudabhita Niyadas Padanam Agadu Jabayuta Hrata Buddha Sudanam Sukasam Padanam. So then she feeds them. She has prepared, you know, this wonderful feast. Rasachaya Yojana means filled with all kinds of wonderful taste. Bojana, the food. Purana, she fills them up. She fills them up with all of these wonderful dishes that she's prepared. And she gives them water that's been scented with a little scent, so very fragrant water to drink. And then she puts a guru on, tambula, she gets to chew a little betel nut, and then she converses with them, you know, very blissfully. She's conversing. Then the last verse describes how sukajitanam patishaya samskriti samanugyam anashayanam. Now these, of course, have been meant to be sing with the ragas, which I don't know. Then she has all her servants. She's the queen, after all. So she gets all her expert servants to prepare the bed. Now prepare the bed for sleeping, and they do that. But then she sees, looking in the window, you know that painting where Krishna is hitting Vishal with a flute, you know, and the boys are looking in the window. So they've been, his most intimate friends, they've been looking at the window. So he invites them in, does the same services, and then they have a sleepover, and Krishna Balaram's pleasure, and everybody reads that. And that's the song. Anybody wants any of this, write to me, Jubita 108. Where else? gmail.com. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. It's really nice to sing this song in front of Krishna Balaram.